the great Deacon David Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, saints of Yahweh. How's everybody doing on this great, awesome Sabbath day? All right. Please be seated. I hope you enjoy the presentation that we have available for you today, the congregation here and everybody out there in TV land. At the same time, even enjoying it and rejoicing, you know, we should be very, take this message very, very serious, because it is real and true. And, you know, one of the things that that we talked about, especially this week, we had a reminder last week on how important visuals are when dealing with people that we're working with, people that we talk to. And so I want to say thank you to the women's side right now for reminding us of how important those visuals are. And if I had the opportunity at some point in time, I would probably want to include those visuals in any kind of speech that I might give in the future too. So please keep your mind open and have your pens handy and your notepads handy, and write these things down. We're going to be going through a lot of stuff, but you're going to see some things today that you may not have seen before, okay? So listen closely. And with that, what I'd like to do at this time is, it's my great honor and privilege, if you'll all please stand, it's my great honor and privilege to present to you the great future priest, White Buffalo.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. We have a lot to go over today, so to start off, please turn over to Genesis 1, verse 14, and that's on page 1 of your book of Yahweh. And it says, "And Yahweh said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark the feast for days and years." If you see where it says side note R2 in that verse, please look over to side note R2. It says, "When the heavenly luminaries are eclipsed, it is a sign of bad times for the world." So, please turn over to Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1 and 2. That's on page 524. And it says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years draw near, when you say, I find no pleasure in them." So these people are not finding pleasure in Yahweh's laws, and people are falling away from the house of Yahweh. But look in verse 2. "Before the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars become darkened, and the clouds do not return after the last rain." So that's that nuclear war that it's talking about there. Please turn to Yael 2, verse 31 on page 694. Page 693. And it says, "And whoever will call with the name of Yahweh will be delivered. For in Mount Zion, in Jerusalem, there will be deliverance. As Yahweh has said, among the remnant who has escaped out of those whom Yahweh calls." In verse 31, it says, "The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible, the wonderful day of Yahweh comes." So that's the nuclear war that it's speaking of. So in Genesis 1, verse 14, again, where it says, "Signs to mark the feast for days and years." So the feasts are the feast of Yahweh, and these things are occurring right after the feast. A little bit after the feast. 8 days away from after the feast. On April the 29th. Now, Pastor said that Yahweh wants us to enjoy the best feast ever, so expect it after the feast. And all life will be gone if Yahweh does not step in. But we need to keep our heads up, because we have a job to do. Praise Yahweh. Don't be one with your head in the sand. Okay? Like Matthew 24, verse 33, and Luke 21, verse 28 says for your notes, to keep our heads up because our redemption draws near. So, what will occur if we don't keep our heads up? Be turning to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 3 on page 930 of your book, Yahweh. 900. Five and verse three, and it says, "For when they will say peace, true peace, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape." So that's what will occur if we don't keep our heads up. We're going to be caught in the midst of the nuclear war. So I have a couple facts about the moon. The moon is 2,159 miles in diameter. And you can fit 49 moons inside the Earth. So just imagine having the Earth and stuffing 49 moons inside of it. Okay, so two facts about the moon. In conclusion, turn over to, stay on that page, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4. It says, "But you, brothers, are not in darkness." "But you, brothers, are not in darkness so that this day would overtake you like a thief. You are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not in the night or in darkness." So let's keep that reputation to be children of the light, so we don't have our head in the sand and we don't get caught in the midst of all this. So keep our heads up because our redemption draws near. With that, I'd like to turn it over to the great future priest, Deacon Abshalom Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Okay. Now, I'm going to continue with what has been brought about the moon, the study about the moon. Now, I'm going to give you some facts about the moon and our solar system. Now, the sun is approximately 93 million miles away from Earth, and the moon is 238,900 miles away from Earth. Now, the diameter of the sun is 865,374 miles, and the diameter of the moon is 2,159 miles. Now, the sun is 109 times bigger than our Earth. And you can fit 49 of our moons inside the Earth. That's how small it is. Now, the moon, it helps to make waves by tilting the Earth. And it helps to move the water, circulate the waters. Now, the gravitational pull of the sun and the moon helps to make the tides and the tidal waves. And you can see it, for example, if you have a coin and a magnet, if you pass the magnet over the coin, you know how one side would lift up? little bit. Well, that's similar to what the Earth does, or the moon does to Earth. Now, it also deals with the age of the moon. Like, for example, if it's a full moon or if it's a new moon, it helps with the waves. Now, the moon is the biggest influence on the tides and the tidal waves. But the wind makes most of the waves. Now, there are two high tide and low tide periods in one day. And they call them lunar tides, because they say about the... They refer to the moon as lunar. Now, they blame the moon for making people go crazy at the certain, like, at a different age, at a certain age of the moon. They blamed it for making people go crazy, and they'll have epilepsies, and they'll start acting all weird. Now, so they came up with the word for lunar, since they refer to the moon as lunar, they came up with the word lunatic. And it means moonstruck. Now, in the King James Version, they have the word lunatic in there, but in the Book of Yahweh, it has the word epilepsies, because Yahshua said that he healed these people. If you can turn over to Matithiah 4. In Matithiah 4 and verse 24 on page 730. It says, and the report about him spread through all of Syria. And they brought to him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pain, those possessed with demons, the epileptics, the paralyzed, and he healed them. So where it says epileptics in the King James Version, they put lunatics. And also, if you can turn to Matithiah 17, verse 15, and it says, ruler, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic, and he is suffering severely, for often he falls into the water, or the fire, and often into the water. But they also called Pastor Yeshua Hawkins a lunatic. Now, in the Encyclopedia of American Loons, here, you can see there he's number 751, and they have him there as a lunatic. Now, the moon has an influence on the tides in the water. Now, if you remember in this article here, it said how Pastor was making waves. Well, the moon helps to make waves, too. And that's what we use... That's what Yahweh said, that we need to use to set the feast. Now, my time's up, and I'd like to turn it over to future priest Deacon Yaakov.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today, we'll be speaking on the prophecies about the moon. Now, we know in Isaiah 45, verse 18, and also Positive Law 1 says that Yahweh is the only source of power in the whole universe. And Isaiah says that Yahweh is in control. Now, you heard Yael 2, verse 31 on page 693, and it says that the moon will be turned into blood when the wonderful day of Yahweh comes. But whoever will call with the name of Yahweh, that's those who keep Yahweh's laws, will be delivered. Now there's a... There we go. I brought a prop today. Now, eclipse. This is a lunar eclipse. It's when this is the moon. The black is the moon. This is the earth here. And this is the sun. Well, what occurs? The sun, the earth blocks out the sun's light. This is during the night, and it turns the moon red. Now, in a solar eclipse, you know, lunar is the moon. A solar eclipse, the earth, or the moon blocks out the sun, and it turns the moon red. All right. So that's the solar and the lunar eclipse. Now in the Strong's, I looked this up. This is going to occur on the calendar. The day during the feast, it's at night, so it would be the first day of the Omer. And that's 4:15, and it means to burn, a flame. Now, the start time is 11:55, and it means a sour grape. And that comes from 11:54, and it means to be sour. An immature grape, a unripe grape. And then the maximum time when you'll see the moon is red the most is 2:48, and it means manacles or chains. And we know Satan is going to be bound. That means that she won't spread her deceit to the world anymore. Praise Yahweh. And then that comes for 21:31, and it means what leaps forth. And we know in Malachi 4:2, page 727, it says, "But for you who reverence my name, the light of righteousness will arise with healing in its wings, and you will go out leaping like calves released from the stall." And then in the Brown Driver Briggs, on page 278, it means a missile or a shooting star. We know the stars will fall from heaven. That's prophesied in Revelations. And then that comes from 2187, and it means to draw together, to spring forward. And we know we'll spring forward to teach the world Yahweh's laws. And then 536, that's the end time, 536 a.m., when you won't see it anymore, it means sick. And then from 535, it means to be sick and to mourn. So you have to remember all these things, the dates and everything. Write them down and look it up for yourself. Now, this is going to occur during the nuclear war. The sun will be the moon will be turned into blood, and these things will occur. Satan will be bound, and we will go forth to teach. So remember everything about the prophecies and look it up for yourself. And with that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker, Shlomo Hawkins. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, as we all know, December 17th, 18th, and 19th, the moon was seen. And the 19th is when they took the picture. So, as we went over the last time we spoke, 12:19 means to be isolated, fenced, and mighty things. And then if you look in the Brown Driver and Briggs, it means secrets and mysteries, unattainable things, be withheld. And then in Jeremiah, it gave the two scriptures, Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, and Yechezkiah 21 and verse 25. Which Jeremiah 33, verse 3 and 6, says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you don't know. And then verse 6 says that Yahweh will heal his people and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. And then remember in Yechezkiah 21 and verse 25, it talks about, O profane and wicked prince of Israel, whose day has come, whose iniquity comes to an end, which iniquity won't be in Yahweh's kingdom. And 33, 36 came from Jeremiah 33 and verse 3 and 6. And it means conception. And it's from 33:35, which means through squeezing into shape, to mold into a form as a potter, to determine a resolution, former, and purpose. And if you look over in Isaiah 5 and verse 1 through 6 talks about that Yahweh planted. He dug it up and he planted the choicest vine. Then he built a tower in the midst and constructed a wine press in it. He looked forward to bring forth fine grapes, but it brought forth the wild grapes instead. And then verse 5 talks about, now I tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge of protection, so it will be eaten, destroyed. I will break down the wall around it, so it will be trodden down. But Yahweh is squeezing the grapes from the wine press. He's squeezing the grapes, also squeezing us. Yahshua is squeezing us into the form so that we could be in the kingdom, puring us like gold. Mold into a form as a potter to determine a resolution, former, and purpose. The purpose is to be in the kingdom of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. And then it was probably identical with 33:34, which means to be narrow. And we know the gate to the kingdom of Yahweh is narrow. If you could turn over to Matthias 7. It's on page 733, Matthias 7 and verse 13. Enter in through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many are those who go that way, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there are who find it. So it means to be narrow, be in distress, and then be vexed. And then when you look the word vexed up, in the Webster's New Riverside University Dictionary, it means to talk about or debate at length and to shake up. And what occurs when the nuclear bombs will fall and blow up? The world will be shaken. If you turn over to Isaiah 24, verse 19, it's on page 544. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is dissolved clean. The earth is shaken exceedingly. So the earth will be shaken up. And then I went back to 12:19. No, I went back to the word fenced in the Strong's where it has all the scriptures. And it took me to Zephaniah 1 and verse 14 through 18. But we're going to read verse 14. And it says, the great day of Yahweh is near. It is near and hastening quickly. The sound of the day of Yahweh is bitter. The mighty will cry there. Verse 15. That day is a day of judgment, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of thick darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. And when the nuclear bombs go off, there will be thick darkness. The sun's light will be blotted out. and the moon will be red. And for your notes, write down verse Zephaniah 1, verse 14 through 18, and it talks about the nuclear wars and all of that. And with that, if everyone will please stand, it's an honor and privilege to turn it over to the great Deacon Samuel.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. I'd like to continue where I left off, I believe, 2 weeks ago. But before I do that, I'd like to bring to remembrance, last week, one of the women brought out an event that occurred on 12/19/2011. You guys remember that? Everyone remember that? She brought out that, see if you can see it here, about how there was a sign on that day. The AGE with the extended line with the dot and the SHDHF. Okay, and that occurred on 12/19/2011. So, you know, myself and a couple of priests got to thinking, well, what occurred on 2012? What occurred in 2012? And on 12/19/2012, there was actually a missionary trip going on at that time. And this missionary trip was actually very significant. I can show you some pictures here where we taught at the drug court. Does everyone remember that? And it was very important that we taught at the drug court because, you know, that was the only time where the laws of Yahweh is actually being taught at a court, actually inside the court, the first time. And it is and a very important thing here, if you look up the definition 12:19 in the Greek, if you look here, it says belonging to the people or state or publicly, which is a court, is a public area. And another thing was very important was that where we taught, it was during the weekdays. It was during the weekdays. And another thing, too, is that it was a state court. So it ties right into what the definition says right there. And then 12/19/2013 was when we saw, can't really see it that well, where you saw Pastor's face on the moon. So how many events was that? Three, right? We can count to three. Three events. You know, so this is not a coincidence, brothers and sisters. Yahweh is doing this. Praise Yahweh. Oh, another thing I forgot to mention about the 12/19/2012 event, the missionary trip. Another very important thing that occurred was we also taught at a middle school. But that was actually the first time where we actually extended a hand and asked the children if they were interested in actually teaching this program. You know, that's very important. But going back into 12/19, which we should remember is the date where the moon was sighted, a pastor's face on the moon, 12/19, and I'd like to just rehearse some of the things that went over last time. 12/19, Hebrew word, which is from 12:10. And the important thing to remember here is to gather grapes. And that's one thing that I'll be talking about is this gathering of the grapes. This gathering grapes. But it also means isolated, cut off, or fortified, or to gather. And then 12:10 means the grape crop. Now, last time I spoke about, went over an article in the almanac.com, where it actually talked about how to take care of grapes, and it's very important. And I have a picture to show you here, just an example, a visual of how you would harvest grapes. Okay, and I actually do remember I had an opportunity to actually do this at one time, so I do have a little bit of knowledge of of harvesting grapes. But I want to reiterate some of the things in this article where it says that pruning is important. Pruning is important. Okay, here's a picture of pruning. But pruning is important. And it says prune annually when vines are dormant in March or April. And if you see here, there's a length of three years of how pruning, when you prune something, the first year, and then so the second year or the third year, how it actually grows forth more fruit. But it says here, prune annually when vines are dormant in March or April. And I believe last time I asked everyone to look at your calendars on what occurs on March or April. Did everyone do that? If you look at the calendar I have here, it's the Feast of Passover. The Feast of Unleavened Bread. So, you know, these things are not a coincidence. But continuing on here, it says, if grapes aren't ripening, pinch back some of the foliage to let more sunlight. And it's very important that you understand, you know, the word ripe means to be ready, suitable, mature, having mature knowledge, understanding, or judgment. So, you know, if you have your scriptures, turn to Yochanan chapter 15, verse 2. Yochanan chapter 15, verse 2, found on page 832. It says here that every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he takes away. And every branch that produces fruit, he purges it. Now, the word purge in Yochanan chapter 15, verse 2 is number 2508 in the Greek, which means to prune, like you would grapes. Or in the Webster's, if you look up the word prune, it ties back into the word refine. Remember, we are being refined as gold. But continuing here in Yochanan chapter 15, verse 2, where it says, he purges it, cleanses from filth, and purifies it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And through who will we be purified? Yisroel Hawkins. Only through him will we be purified. Praise Yahweh. You know, no one else. He purifies us through his teachings. Now, if you also, if you turn to Revelation chapter 14, Revelation chapter 14 and verse 14 through 20 are the pages we're going to go through, found on page 980. And we're not going to read everything on here, but I just want to encourage everyone to read those verses. But in verse 14, it says, and I looked and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like the Son of Man. And it's very interesting when you look up the word like, which is Greek number 3664. Greek number 3664, meaning similar in appearance or character. And we should know that there's really only one person who's similar like the Son of Man, right? Who is that person? Yisroel Hawkins, praise Yahweh. And notice here, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Remember this cloud? I showed it last time where a man with a sickle. And this golden crown, it ties back into Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 through 14. But it's a position. It's a position. In verse 15, and another mallet came out of his house, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Now remember what we just read about the word ripe. You know, let me say it one more time. The word ripe means to be ready, suitable, mature, having mature knowledge, understanding, or judgment. And then let me jump down to verse 19. It says, and the mallet thrust in the sickle into the earth, and gather the vine of the earth and cast them into the great winepress of the judgment of Yahweh. We know it says wrath, but we know it's judgment of Yahweh. And the word winepress has is very interesting. The word winepress, which is number 3025 in the Greek, and it gives you a scripture, Revelation 19, verse 15. And this is what it says here. It says it's a metaphor of executing divine judgment upon the gathered foes, which are the enemies of the saints, at the close of this age preliminary, which is something that comes first in order for something to be prepared for or introduced to the main part or something else. So something has to come first, which to the establishment of the millennium kingdom. The millennium kingdom, which is coming soon, brothers and sisters. Praise Yahweh. But it gave you the scripture, Revelation 19, verse 15, which ties back into the word winepress, but it's on final page 983. Page 983, Revelation chapter 19, verse 15. And it says, and out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword, which we should remember Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 for your notes, which is the laws and the prophets. The laws and the prophets are the two-edged sword. So out of his mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he will rule over them with a rod, with the rod, which is the branch, which is who? Israel Hawkins. Okay? Rod of iron. He treads the winepress, the word winepress, of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty Yahweh, which again we know is the judgment. And we can see there that Yeshua and Pastor are working together to judge the nations at this time. Now, I want to go over here. Yael chapter, let's not go there. For your notes, you can read this in Yael chapter 3 and verse 10 through 14. You can write that for your notes and go over it. But I want to go over to this here. This is a familiar scripture, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 38. We're going to try to read as much as we can through 43, which is found on page 741, which this here is Yeshua explaining the parable of the wheat and the tares. Okay? And just remember all the things that I talked about being the grape and being ripe. In verse 38, he says, the field is the world, and the worthy seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the Malachim. Just as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so will it be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his Malachim, and they will gather out of his kingdom all who cause others to fall away and those who break the laws of Yahweh. Verse 42, and will cast them into a furnace. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. He who has ears, let him hear. You know, brothers and sisters, it's very important that we understand that the time is near where the harvest is coming. You know, all these signs is telling us how much time we have left. You know, we have to be that ripe grape. We have to be that ripe grape, the mature grape, the one that had this knowledge that has been given to us through Israel Hawkins. You know, we have to be that ripe grape on that branch, which is connected to the vine, Yeshua, a high priest, over the house of Yahweh, or we will be picked off, as in Yochanan chapter 15, verse 2 says, and be cast into a furnace of fire as a tear, in Matthew chapter 13, verses 38 through 43 says. So keep these things in mind, brothers and sisters, because there's so much more. There's so much more to go into these things, and I encourage everyone to to, you know, study these words for yourself. You know, prove these things to yourself. You know, the time is near, the judgment is coming, and we have to be prepared. We have to be that ripe grape so that we can enter into this great kingdom of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. If you all please stand. I have a privilege and an honor to present to you the next speaker, the great Deacon David.
Shabbat shalom again, saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. I'm going to try to move through this as quick as I can. One of the things, you know, you may be wondering, what's all this talk about, you know, our time is near, the harvesting of the grapes, all these things. You know, you're hearing a lot of this over the past few weeks, right? Well, Yahweh willing, by the time we're through presenting this today, you'll have a clear understanding of what's taking place. So the last few weeks, we've heard a little bit about, I'm just going to go over a few things some of the speakers said. The two great lights, you can write down Genesis 1, 16 through 18. The faithful witness in the sky, Psalms 89, 37. There were several definitions of the when, which was 1219. And of course, as we've already heard, that was more than 1 year. We'll cover that again. But when was 1219, the time was 7:48, and then the how many, well, that was 7613, it's actually three times, but 7613 is there for you too, which leads toward 5375, I believe. But you need to get these sermons and listen to them. Listen to them online, get the CDs, whatever you need to do, and listen to them over and over again, because there's bits and pieces, and there's going to be a lot more bits and pieces to come, because this thing, it seems to go on forever. Some of the definitions of these words are to make long, to gather, power, ordained, splendor, honor, acceptance, next to, left-handed, beside, raising up, lifted, exalted, carried away, going on a journey. I start thinking about that big planet that's out there, you know, and it just comes to mind that Yahweh is getting everything prepared. He's getting it prepared for us. As we know, we will be going on a journey. Those who are ready to go on that journey, those who are in unity with Yahweh's house, with the priesthood, those who are cleansed and ready to go. We've seen and heard that our redemption draws near. And we've also been getting to know how important it is to get to know the microorganisms. You know, they will flock to us, as one of the speakers said. NASA. How interesting that is, that NASA is bringing us all these great pictures to our attention today, the signs out there for us to see out in the furthest reaches of the universe. We also heard how Babylon has failed. We've heard of being in unity with the microbes, as Yahshua was, and that's how he was able to do the things that he did. We heard of the river of microbes and how Yahweh is already in the process of having things ready to clean up or cleaning up the earth even as we speak, having these microbes ready to go. He's not going to let all of them be killed off by any means. And that we're also in the right boat. The one that brought us here, you know, we're here now. And it is the right boat for sure here at the house of Yahweh. We heard about the moon. We even got to hear today how the moon is 2,159 miles in diameter. And that how we can know we're in the right place. Now, these are all on these sermons. You need to get them and listen to them. Get online. Get the CDs, whatever way you have available. And about the power in the microbes. And I thought about one time, I think it was Pastor that said, talked about getting to know the sheep and the goats. And, you know, I've got a little personal story on that. I'll share it for later. I'll save it for later. But it also reminded me, I'll tell you, I can't thank the group enough last week that brought the visuals. So I went ahead and made one, you know, because I realized how important it is to have these visuals available. And you see it says, we don't have much time. We don't have much time. See that? You know, if I had more, I'd get them for you, but I'd like you to at least remember this one, you know. We don't have much time. Now, I'm a visual learner myself, and so I really liked that last week. And Yahweh willing, others of you that are more visual than auditory can take hold of this, okay? So keep that in mind. All right, I want to talk a little bit about the number three. Now, the number three, if you recall, for 3 years in a row, and I think the great deacon mentioned this a moment ago, but for 3 years in a row, on 1219, the cloud, age, you know, with the A coming in and out, and then 1219, 2012 was the Judge Hale Court, which he showed some pictures of and told you a little bit about. Then 1219, 2013, pastor's face was seen on the moon three times. Three nights. So 3 years in a row on 1219, we had something very significant occur in the house of Yahweh. Now, as was spoken before, the number three in E.W. Bullinger, the number in scriptures, now that's kind of boring book, you know, but if you use it to look at a few things, you can really dig in and find out what it's all about. I don't know how you'd read the whole thing. But it made me think of, when I thought of three, I thought of what is the length, the breadth, and the height. And then I remembered, well, there's three feasts that we're commanded to go to, right? And so I started thinking, you know, this number three really is significant in Yahweh's plan. Three stands for, in E.W. Bullinger, it stands for what is solid, real, complete, and entire. All of these things, specially completed, are stamped with the number three. We have past, we have present, and we have future. 3 days and three nights. There had to be a reason that Yahshua was in the ground for 3 days and three nights instead of, you know, 4 days or, hey, 7 days or whatever you might choose. It was 3 days and three nights, and we know Yahweh had a reason for this. In Scripture, three also marks divine completeness or perfection. Completeness or perfection. Now, if you let your mind wrap around all these things that you're hearing about the time, we don't have much time. Our time is near. Our redemption draws near. The harvesting of the grapes. For those of you that have, and if you haven't, please start looking up some of these numbers. The 7613 you'll be working on it for months, I guarantee you. There is so much that it covers, and you'll start gaining a better understanding, I think, about where all of this is going. Number three is also the completeness of divine judgment. Do you remember in Daniel, I believe it was Daniel 6, like verse 25 or something off in there, but the king was found numbered, weighed, and the kingdom divided. That was Belshazzar, the king, and you know, he died that night. It was pretty interesting there, you know, three things, numbered, weighed, and divided. And then what do we have right here in front of the podium? Yahweh, Yahshua, and Israel, right? That's three. Why don't we have, you know, four or five people up there? Seven maybe. Hey, 13, you know, because Yahweh chose three and he did it for a reason. Because it is complete, completeness in every way. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, the truth will be established, right? You can write down 2 Corinthians 13:1 and Deuteronomy 19:15. And keep in mind, in June 2007, the seventh Malach started pouring out this bowl talking about the global warming and what the truth of the matter is. and the microbes, started teaching us about the microbes. So as the seventh Malach's bowl is being poured out, we need to remember September 12th, 2006 was a warning, right? You remember that, everybody? September 12th, 2006, how could we forget? Then again, June 12th, 2007, another warning went out for the nuclear war, right? Now guess what? For the third time now, you're already hearing that this is going to take place, that it's not going to be held back any longer. Think about it. The 9 months from when John Kerry set this in motion, 9 months from back then, you'll see in just a minute, I'll show it to you. 3 times 3 is 9. 9 months. You know, start putting all this together. Write it down. Look it over. Ask questions. Talk to your counselors. 777. Remember the 3 sevens. And that was the Feast of Gold. But remember also, in October 13th, 2014, 21 years will have passed from the time the peace plan was signed, right? 21 years. What is that? 777. 3 sevens. It is complete. We don't have much time. That's why this message is being brought forth. We don't have much time. Yahweh will not forget the work that you've done. It's not time to be lazy and slothful. It's time to push, push, push. And remember, think about Pastor's face on Bethlehem. You know, on the bakery, on the bread house, right? 3 days, or 3 nights, excuse me. You could see it 3 nights. You could see his face. For those who had already seen it, on the third night, you could see his face again. Then it started dwindling. Remember Yahshua. He was in the ground. You know, it makes me think of Bethlehem down in Israel, in Jerusalem. You know, the house of death. He was in the ground for 3 days and 3 nights. And what occurred after Yahshua was raised up? Remember the words we just heard about? Raised up, exalted, complete, accepted, ordained. Think about those things. Because Yahshua ascended up, and then he came back for 40 days with the apostles, right? So, right now, in the house of Yahweh, Yahweh's showing us that we need to be at this point of perfection because, once again, we don't have much time. So endure and remember Yahweh's three attributes, truth, mercy, and love. That's three once again. And I'd like to finish up by showing you this calendar once again so that you'll know some interesting things about it. First of all, in the Roman month, you have a new moon at the beginning of the month on the first day and a new moon at the end of the month on the last day. How often does that occur that Yahweh has two moons on the first and last day of the Roman month? Not very often. I don't even know. I didn't go back and look, but not very often. I know that. And then right in the middle of it, you've got the full moon, which is also the first high day Sabbath right there on the 15th. And that's also when we have the lunar eclipse, which you've already heard a little bit about, and you'll probably hear more. And then at the end of the month, on the 29th, is the solar eclipse, which is also the end of the 9 months nuclear baby that John Kerry started back when. 9 months. That's the last day. And remember that Pastor said after this feast, there's going to be some interesting things to take place. So once again, we don't have much time. Our redemption draws near. Lift up your heads. Rejoice. All right? And with that, if you'll all please stand. It's my great honor and privilege to present to you the great priest in Yahweh's house, the great Kohan Kenania.
Shabbat shalom, saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. Is everybody sick and tired of this world by now? We ready for the kingdom? Praise Yahweh. Because Yahweh, I believe He's ready for us to get in there and to stand in our place and to do our job with assisting Him and our High Priest Yahshua Messiah in putting this world back into perfect shape. You've heard a lot of great information coming forth from the last two Sabbaths regarding the moon and the times and the things that are taking place and the signs that are being shown to us in the heavens. And, you know, how this pertains only to the house of Yahweh, just like us only having a high priest over the house of Yahweh right now, having a high priest. One day the world will be brought before the high priest and before Yahweh, but it's going to be through this house, through this work, through this seed of the one sent in these last days. What I want to talk about today ties in with the what everyone else has been bringing forth with the moon and the cleansing and our time, which is running out very quickly right now. Now, you know, we don't need to look at this as a thing of fear, except to, you know, maybe look at ourselves and see where we are falling short and to really put forth the effort to overcome and to get these sins out of our lives, the shortcomings, the little things that our pastor said it was the second book of Israel. It's the little things that we're being judged on, you know. So we need to really closely examine ourselves and see where we're falling short and really earnestly put forth the effort to prove to Yahweh that we love Yahweh more than all else and we want this kingdom more than any of the other governments that are here on this earth right now. And that's what we need to really be putting forth the effort for. Praise Yahweh. And remember, we show it through our works. We show it through our actions. You know, not just with a desire. A desire is what starts it to building and starts it to going in the right direction. And then you have the laws of Yahweh, which show you how to carry it out. And then we actually bring it forth. It's like having a desire to build a house, then receiving the blueprints, then receiving the tools to build it, and then putting forth the actions to build the house. Having the blueprints and having the tools and desire won't build the house. You'll just have tools, blueprints, and desire. But actually putting forth the effort and doing the work is what gets the job done. And that's why this is called the work of Yahweh. You know, not because we have a book of Yahweh only, or because we have a high priest, or because we have people who desire righteousness or desire to stop sin. It's because it's a body of people collectively working, laboring, which Yahshua calls this a labor of love, to get sin out of our lives and to bring about perfection, to bring about Yahweh's peaceful solution. So remember, it's a work of Yahweh that we must labor in continuously. If you open your books of Yahweh, we'll be just kind of looking here, and I'm just going to kind of briefly go over this. Turn to Revelation, which is the last book in your scriptures there. Revelation chapter 22. Now, of course, Revelation 21 was talking about the great white throne of Yahweh and the new heaven and the new earth and what Yochanan was seeing and what was going to be taking place there, you know, and how he spoke with the seventh Malach, who was bringing forth the prophecies, pouring out these prophecies of the plagues, the seven last plagues that, you know, Pastor has just recently brought out, you know, brought to the attention, and he's pleading with the Pope and the kings of the East, the quartet, to let the people of Yahweh go. Otherwise, this warning, not that it's going to come forth from the house of Yahweh. It's not Yahweh who does these things. It's not Yahweh who's bringing these curses upon mankind. They're doing it themselves. But yes, Yahweh does give the warning. Remember, Pastor has always said, you know, when something takes place, when these wars take place, when these plagues take place, when things are fulfilled, the house of Yahweh will foretell it in advance. So you will know that there is a Father in heaven, and so that you know that there is a prophet amongst you or in the midst of you. So we're talking about here in Revelation 21, it talks about the great white throne judgment and the Lamb of Yahweh and the dimensions of Yahweh Shema and so forth, which I know we're all looking forward to being in one day and going in. And I remember some of the dreams that Pastor was talking about in times past when he had some dreams of him actually being in Yahweh Shema. It made me think about, to digress here, when the discovery came out about this planet was recently discovered. What is it? HD 106906b. I don't know why I remember that, but I do. They're still searching for a name here, but it was recently discovered. I remember Pastor said he had this dream a long time ago, and he said, I was in Yahweh Shema. You know, I was in Yahweh Shema. And he was describing how this was, he's never seen anything like this on a television show, never seen it in a book or a magazine, but he was in Yahweh Shema. And he said he saw the planets and everything around him, you know, moving like he can reach out and touch them. But he was in Yahweh Shema, but above the earth, you know, and he can see all these things. And I'm thinking, man, you know, that's going to be great one day to be able to actually see these things take place, to see the planets going by, to be in Yahweh Shema while this time period of cleansing is taking place on the earth, and to do the work and be sent out from Yahweh Shema and to go do what we're called to do and what we're training to do right now. But look at Revelations 22. And look at verse 1. We'll start in verse 1. We're going to get to the next scripture here. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb. Okay? And in the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bears 12 fruits and yields her fruit every moon. Okay? And the leaves of the tree, notice, were for the healing of the nation. And there will be no more curse, but the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will serve him. And they will see his face, and his name will be in their foreheads. Now, has everyone, I know we pretty much all can listen to the, we have access to the radio, right? House Yahweh radio station. And have you been hearing the sermons being brought forth concerning cleansing? Right? Has everyone been hearing those things? You have been? Okay. Well, you know, it's very important. And I remember if you go back and start to go back through the first book of Yahweh, which is entitled Making the Connection, Pastor goes into a lot of detail, great detail, about the importance of cleansing. And why it's important for us to be preparing ourselves to enter into this kingdom. If you remember what Yahshua gave the example of when he told his disciples to get ready for the Seder, to get ready for Yahshua's memorial. You know, they went and they cleansed. They went and they cleansed. It not only described the cleansing of an external nature, but also an internal nature. And you remember back in pastors always talked about cleansing, but I think it was back in around 2000, you know, we really started to push. Pastor really started to push us and push the house of Yahweh toward cleansing, you know, getting us ready. Because you remember in Pastor's mind, his desire is that, you know, we would all be ready right now to enter the Yahweh Shema. You know, that is his desire. But he knows it is the process that takes place. And when we think about this cleansing and everything that we've done from the time where we started and we're faithful with that up till now, you know, I really believe that Yahweh, you know, have spared a lot of us from death through that cleansing, because we were a very sickly, you know, on the edge of death people. Remember, praise Yahweh, we are the worst generation. We are at the peak of sin when mankind has defiled themselves, they have defiled the earth, and it was a time period of about 2,000 years since the last era of the house of Yahweh even existed. You had the book burnings, you had the rise of the Catholic Church, and you had the push of sin to mankind through teaching and influences and so forth, where people couldn't make wise, sound decisions to choose righteousness based on the information that was taught from the Holy Scriptures. So we brought down to this time period of this last generation where, yes, as the prophet said, sin would be at its peak. And it will also be just as the days of Noah, okay? But worse than the days of Noah, but in the fact that mankind's desire was evil continuously. But let's look at a few scriptures here, a few definitions in Revelations 22, verse 1 and 2. Let's see. So he showed me a pure river of water of life. And of course, you know, these two words here, pure river of water of life, you know, they refer to, you know, spirit, holy, and the work of Yahweh. Let's see here. Let me get my things here together straight. This word here, water, is from 5204, from 5205, and it means as if rainy. It's from the word how, or ho. It's I might not be pronouncing that right. Rain, especially a shower, from Thayer's Greek lexicon, allegorically, that which refreshes and keeps alive the spirit, is likened to water, the spirit and truth of Yahweh. Okay? And look at Yochanan. Turn to Yochanan, and we'll look at chapter 4, the book of Yochanan, chapter 4. And we'll look at verses 10, 13, and 14. Okay, Yochanan 10, 14. Okay. And Yeshua said to her, and this is when he's speaking to the Samaritan woman, "If you knew the gift of Yahweh and who it is that says to you, 'Give me a drink,' would you have asked? You would have asked for him instead, and he would have given you," notice here, "living water." Look at verse 13. Yeshua answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks this water will again become thirsty, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never become thirsty, for the water that I will give him will become like a well of water springing up into life everlasting." All right? It will become like a well of water. And this is what Yochanan saw proceeding from the throne of Yahweh, a water of life. He could have just said pure river, but it's pure river of water of life, something that enables a person who partakes of it to receive life everlasting. We know that to be the laws of Yahweh, the teachings from the house of Yahweh. Okay? And it's coming forth from the throne of Yahweh, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne and the Lamb. Now, in the middle of its street, and on either side, the river was the tree of life. In the middle of the street, and on either side, which bears 12 fruits. And notice, this tree, it actually bears these fruits every moon. Now, Yahweh says, you know, that the moon will endure forevermore. So we can know from this scripture, and then Yeshua said, unless heaven and earth would be destroyed, not one yod, the smallest of the letter, would be destroyed, but it won't. It's going to endure forevermore. So this tree of life, which is also mentioned in Genesis chapter 2, it bears these fruits every moon or continuously. Notice, and its leaves for the purpose of healing the nations. Now, this healing process, you know, it takes time. It's not just saying a word or rubbing your hand over somebody or anything like that, or giving, you know, it's not giving them prescription, because remember, that's going to be destroyed. All those who practice sorcery is going to be destroyed, as Revelation says. But it's the teachings, the same cleansing process that we're going through right now through the teaching of the laws of Yahweh, that's going to bring about the healing of the nations. Now, the reason I'm pointing this out is because we have a time period coming up here where we're going to be entering to this 1,000-year millennia, right? Everybody ready for 1,000 years? Right? You will actually have the honor of saying at the end of this thing, you know, I'm 1,000 blah, 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 blah years old. You know, you're actually going to be able to do that. But we're going to be using the same cleansing, the same herbs. Remember what it was that Yahweh gave us, the herbs, the fruits of the trees. Remember, we also use the leaves from the trees here right on this ground that Yahweh gave us, the walnuts and so forth, to cleanse ourselves. And we're going to be using these things to cleanse the nations. And it's going to be coming forth every moon. You know, I'm not going to have much time to get into great detail, but it's going to be a continual process until these nations are cleansed. And notice verse 3, what's going to take place. "And there will be no more curse, but the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb will be in it." Now, the only thing that brings forth the curse is what? The sin, breaking Yahweh's laws. So turn to Isaiah. You should probably already be there. I know you're already thinking about it. "There will be no more curse." Why? There will be no more curse. Remember, they're receiving this cleansing, but they're receiving it from us, the house of Yahweh, those who have overcome, those who are walking in unity. It's going to be the same thing that we see in Isaiah 20, or chapter 2, and look at verse 4. "And he will judge among the nations, and will rebuke many people, and they will beat their swords and their plowshares, and their spears and their pruning hooks. And nation will not lift up sword anymore, neither will they learn war anymore." Because at this time period, they're going to be learning health. They're going to be learning peace. And every moon, every new moon, and every feast day, and every Sabbath day, they're going to be learning the laws of life, which actually brings health, peace, joy, and abundant living. And it's going to be us that are going to be teaching them those very things to bring them into unity and before the throne of Yahweh. So may Yahweh bless your understanding. Continue to push for righteousness. Strive for perfection and health. And I'll turn it over now to the great deacon, Stefania Rutowski-Hawkins. Thank you.
There you are. Thank you. You can be seated. I like to look in the clouds, take pictures of these clouds, and show off these cloud images from Yahshua. And I've been told, if you look at those clouds long enough, you can see anything you want in them. And that right there is a red flag to me. I don't waste any more time with someone like that, because they'll just take it and they'll downplay it, and they'll say it's pareidolia. And I want to talk about this cloud image. Well, it's actually a pulsar. It's on the internet, all over the internet now. And they're calling it, they dubbed it the Hand of God. And it was first discovered in 1982 by Einstein Observatory. And they're calling it the Hand of God, and they're saying it's pareidolia. Now, pareidolia is, it's a psychological phenomenon involving a vague and random stimulation or stimulus, often an image or a sound, and we've had both, being perceived as significant. The word comes from the Greek word para, meaning something faulty, wrong, instead of, and the noun eidolon, meaning image, form, or shape. And together, it means faulty image. It's a relatively new term. It was coined by a psychiatrist, Stephen Goldstein. Now, the psychiatrists are the guys that tells you it's all in your head. And it's not in the dictionary. I had to go online to find its meaning. Okay. Now, a miracle, the definition is, it's an effect, extraordinary event in the physical world that surpasses all known human or natural powers and is ascribed to or considered the work of Yahweh. And I changed the end of that just a little bit. So, this image, discovered in 1982, if it's pareidolia, it would come from your imagination. If it's a miracle, it would come from Yahweh through Yahshua. If it's pareidolia, you'll see random images in it. If it's a miracle, you'll see a visual parable, because Yahshua spoke in parables. So let's see what we got here. The first thing I noticed about this was the three fingers here. The three fingers here and this red area right here. And how it resembled an uncut ruby stone in a setting of gold. I've got a kind of a drawing here. Notice it kind of resembles a ruby stone here in a setting of gold. NASA says that this star is emitting so much energy that it's illuminating everything around it. This light, this blue right here, is high intensity energy. The green, the goldish color here, is medium, and this red is low energy. The second thing I noticed was this light right here, and see how it's kind of flowing here. This light, this is the whole image right here. I kind of draw it out. And this light right here comes from the shoulder of Israel Hawkins. You can see his face right here. I know. See it? See how it's drawn out right here? And his brother Yaakov. Right, it's really hard to see, but it's right here. Right here's his glasses. Right here. Right here. I'm going to refer to this because it's kind of hard to see right here. You'll notice these two are one. They're drawn in this sin right here. Right here's his eye. And they share an eye. And share an eye means that they have the same understanding. They see the same things. They share the same goals. Now, on both their foreheads is a book. Okay? And that book is, notice it's one book. It's not two books. It's on both their foreheads. It's one book. And so they share that book. That book is open. That book represents knowledge. And the fact that it's open means that they share the knowledge. And you look right here. And this is a little bit harder to see. But there's a man right here. This man right here. And he's bent over and he's looking into that book. And he sees his reflection. And this means that someone looks into the knowledge of these two men that they can examine themselves with this knowledge here. Now, on the other side of that book is a motherly figure right here, motherly figure. And she's wearing glasses, meaning that she sees, she can see, and she can see clearly. She's well-dressed, neckline up high. Now her right arm goes down, it comes down through, and it goes, and it touches both these men. Right through here, it comes down. And the funny thing is, her hand, I don't have it drawn this way, but her hand actually comes down, and it's got Israel by the nose, right there. And Israel means, the nose means that that's his interest. And the fact that this woman's got a hold of his nose is that she's got his interest. Or she's leading around by the nose. And this is a representation of the mother of these two men, which makes them brothers, and her sons. And it's also a representation of the house of Yahweh, which is part of both these men. Now, the next part that stood out was this thing right here that looks like a whirlwind. I turn it this way. See, goes like that, a whirlwind right here. And it doesn't go down, it goes up. And remember, in Job, Yahweh talked to Job out of the whirlwind. And through all the tests and the trials and everything that was going on, the multitude of words that was going on then, and the same thing now in this time period that Israel's going through. Notice this goes up to this light right here. See how that light's right there? And it comes down. Now the whirlwind, this is the tight end. This is the input end. This is the suction side, the drawing side right here. And right here is the output. So it's coming from the light out of the whirlwind to Israel's heart, right here. Now, it's coming from the source of all knowledge. That's what I wanted to get to here. Now, I thought I was done at this point until I got to looking at this area here. This part right here. And I had to modify a little bit because that's where this is, the word ask. A-S-K. And the leg of the K goes down and it's part of these men right there. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Turn to Isaiah 45:11 real quick. Isaiah 45:11, page 559. It says, this is what Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel and Israel Maker, says. Ask me about the things that are coming. Ask me about my sons, Jacob and Israel. The work of my hands, which I have given command through this whirlwind. I've given command. Is this the revealing of the sons of Yahweh? This image right here, is it the revealing of the sons of Yahweh? Is this a random, vague images from our imagination, as what they're calling it, the pareidolia, or is it a miracle from Yahweh? And, miracle, praise Yahweh. Okay, I believe that this star was created for this very purpose, to be destroyed. I think it was to be destroyed to catch the eyes of all creation and to reveal the sons of Yahweh. In case, I mean, just for grins and giggles here, in case you were wondering, no, this star was called 1509. It for short, it's called B1509. So I looked up 1509 and what it meant. There was no life destroyed. When this star exploded, there was no life lost in the destruction of this star. I believe it was created just for this very purpose. And how I know it, there was no life lost, because 1509 means not inhabited. From 1504, which means to destroy. So this thing's been roped off and protected just for this very reason. And if you all please stand. I turn the services over to the great Gahan Benjamin Krauss Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, saints of Yahweh. It's a pleasure to be here to speak with the great saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. Unlike this time, we don't have much time, but I do. I'm not going to rush through it like I did last time. By the way, I wanted to show you a little something. By the way, may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. But if you look at "we don't have much time," you'll notice there's 19 characters. Okay? We're going to focus on that number 19 and some other things that have been brought out. I'm telling you, the speakers over the last 3 weeks have laid excellent information on our plate and done a wonderful job of bringing forth this information, vital, life-saving information for all of us, and showing us the time is near and everything that we need to know in order to be ready, to be acceptable. Now, the number 19, I know one of the speakers last week mentioned that there was a sermon given on that, and I think I want to go over some things that were given on that just to lay a foundation here and also for a reminder, because we do have a lot of new people, and we have people tuning in for the first time, or some of us, we forget. That's why we have reminders constantly laid in front of us. I forgot a lot of this. In fact, I had to call the National Archive guy this morning, and he had to give me file 19 from the National Archives so I could bring this to you. Because a lot of it, I forgot it, because it was a couple years ago at the Feast of Tabernacles that it was brought. So let's start with this. Y'all remember the peaceful solution. Before I tell you that, though, let me tell you about this number 19, just to reiterate a couple things. The number 19 is 10 plus 9, of course. The number 10 is the number of divine order. This is from Bullinger's. The number of divine order, like we have 10 commandments. Divine order, meaning the plan of Yahweh that was from the beginning. Yochanan 1:1. Write these down for your notes so you can go and look at these. Yochanan 1:1 and 3. Remember, nothing's done outside this plan either. Not one thing. First Yochanan 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which are, go and read that for yourself. Also, Exodus 25:40. Let's turn there. Let's read that one. Exodus 25:40. I'll give you a page number. It's on page page 66. And Yahweh told Moshe, "See that you make them according to the pattern which was shown to you on the mountain." According to the plan, according to the pattern. And also for your notes, 1 Corinthians 14:40. Divine order. Remember, everything needs to be done decently and in order. There's a Yahweh's laid this plan so, it's so complete and so well laid out. And nothing's going to, Yahweh's not going to jump ahead. You know, sometimes we jump ahead and we want to jump ahead. You know, like Pastor wanted his kingdom to come a long time ago, right? And, you know, but it's not going to come until the time that it's set. Make no mistake about it. It's all going according to the plan. Now, the number 9, 10 plus 9, of course, is 19, is a number of judgment. And if you'll remember, well, I don't want to jump ahead. See, I sometimes jump ahead. It's like I showed you that picture that I didn't need to show yet. But the number of judgment. Turn over to Revelation 20, verse 12. Because, as you all remember also, I think it's in 1 Kefa chapter 4 or 5, where it says, where does judgment begin? At the house of Yahweh, right here. We all came here and we asked Yahweh to judge us whether we're worthy of this kingdom or not. But these judgment, this decision is being made according to what Yahweh has written in the books. Revelation 20, verse 12, by the way, is found on page 984. Let's look at verse 12. It says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before Yahweh. And the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books." Okay? And one of those books, some of those books, it's called the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. We're being judged whether or not we make our decisions based upon what's written in these books. The teachings that come forth from the house of Yahweh, we must make sure that we are in unity with everything that we see in these books. Our mind is not our own mind. Don't lean on our own understanding, remember? But in all your ways, acknowledge Yahweh. Make sure that your decisions and our decisions that we're making are what's written in the books. Because if they're not, we are not in unity. And if we're not in unity, turn over to Jacob chapter 2. I'll show you how important it is that we're in unity with even the smallest, or what we consider the smallest judgments of Yahweh. The smallest decisions. Jacob chapter 2 verse 10, found on page 954, where it says, "For whoever keeps the whole law and yet offends in one, pushes one aside and says, oh, I don't need to keep that. That's not important. I'll get through. I'll slide through somehow. Yahweh probably don't see me doing this." No. Everything, there's a book being written about your life and about my life right now. And it's all being recorded. Remember that bone pastor talked about, right? Forget the name right offhand, but remember, the smallest. Turn over to Matithiah 5:17, along those same lines, on page 731, where it reads, "Whoever therefore will break one of the least of these laws and will teach men so by their words or actions will be called least in the kingdom." Why will they be called least? Because they won't be there very long. They'll be found without a garment. They'll be taken, bound hand and foot, cast out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I know no one here wants to be in that category, right? Right? Right. That's why we're all striving so diligently. Okay, now, number 19, the books were open. Remember, one of the books is the Peaceful Solution. Whew. Y'all make me nervous. You know why? Because you're the most intelligent, well-taught people on the face of the earth. And you're all watching me, and it makes me nervous. Because I'm always afraid I'm going to say something wrong, and you're all going to be going, "What do you say?" Okay. Books were open. And by the way, this Peaceful Solution, let me show you something. In 1994, the teachers and pastor got together regarding this program. But I want you to look at the top of that temple brochure. What does it say? Peaceful Solution. When was it written? So we can dispel these myths that pastor didn't come up with this. That it was one person. Somebody in the 90s. Notice the copyright. There's that number 19, right? 1989. Okay? Written by Israel Hawkins, by the way. A Peaceful Solution. That should settle that matter. And on to other things. So there's 19 letters. Just to reiterate the sermon that was given a few years back. There's 19 letters in the Peaceful Solution. In the Peaceful Solution program itself, there's 19 teaching tools. You have the parenting program, The early learning, pilot, kindergarten, first through fifth, character, acceptance, self-control, respect, responsibility, building moral excellence, a basic inmate workshop, the peaceful solution speech manual, time for peace, and change CDs. 19 teaching tools. No, and don't think in your mind, remember the workplace program's not out yet. Yahweh held it back. He's held it back for this time period. He'll probably release it after this sermon. Okay, now, also, the Peaceful Solution logo, which I, for some reason, didn't bring up here. The Peaceful Solution logo on the books, if you'll notice, or if you'll look next time, there's 6 olives on one branch, and there's 13 on the other, which adds up to what? Oh, wait, I heard a lot of different answers. Let's try that again. 6 plus 13 equals what? There we go. Okay, some of us need to get into that class we're having back there on the Sabbath. I found out this morning I need some help on my division and some other things, so maybe I'll join up. Okay, so also, the most expensive book, in fact, the first book that was put out, the K-1 program, was $19. $19, and there's never been one that's more than $19. Told you about the tools, okay? So 19 is written all over the Peaceful Solution program, and that's not a coincidence. And by the way, the day before I gave that sermon, and I know I talked about it before, but they installed phone lines over at, in fact, I'm looking at somebody that did that right now, installed phone lines over at the Men's South office. And I asked him, well, what's our extension? He said 19. I said, what, 19? I didn't want to tell him about the sermon I was going to give the next day. But maybe that'll help you remember how to get a hold of me. Maybe that's all a coincidence. I don't know. But a lot of coincidences constitute a fact, right? As one of the great cons brought out once. By the way, just so I want to get this in the record. About the 6 olives on one side and then the 13 on the other, okay? Representing Yahweh's 613 laws. All right, so having said all that about the number 19, also remember Genesis 19, if you could turn over there real quick. I also mentioned about Genesis 19 on page 13 about the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's in Genesis 19. Now, what's interesting about this, of course, it's about the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah, and this had to take place because they were trying to, pollute Yahshua's bloodline. And Yahweh will not allow that to take place. But if you notice in Genesis 19, the first verse of Genesis 19 has 38 words. The first sentence has 19 words. The second sentence has 19 words for a total of 38, which is 19 times 2. Genesis chapter 19 has 38 verses, which again is 19 times 2. And in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, as the great deacon said earlier, may everything be established. So this is talking about judgment of the world here in Genesis 19. But I'm talking today about our judgment. Judgment begins in the house of Yahweh. And we all came here to be judged according to what is written in the books. Okay, let's turn over to Zechariah 6:12. Zechariah 6:12, we're all familiar with this scripture. And Zechariah has pastor all over in there, him and Yahshua, our great high priest. I'll give you a page number here. Zechariah 6, found on page 719. Has 19 in there, so it should help you remember. 6 verse 12. It says, speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh of hosts says. Behold the man whose name is the branch, for he will branch out from his place, and he will build the house of Yahweh. The branch, the man whose name is the branch. And we know who that branch is. Can we all say it together? Yisroel Hawkins. That is Yahweh's chosen branch, okay? There's no mistaking it. There's no doubt about it. And he is working side by side with our great high priest, Yahshua Messiah. Now, it says that he will branch out from his place. I want to show you something. This is really interesting. There's only two documents that I have ever filed in a court of law regarding the House of Yahweh and the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. You can see this. It has the Webb County. It's kind of blurred. I'm sorry, but it'll get better as we go along. But that's the Webb County logo right there. And if anybody wants to see these documents later, you can. There it talks about the Webb County clerk. Remember, Pastor Israel Hawkins has done a lot of work in Webb County, Texas, down in Laredo. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people have learned the Peaceful Solution over the years, thanks to all of you in the sanctuary and the outlying areas. Remember, it's all teamwork. All of us did this together as a body. Now, this was filed in Webb County Court, and let me give you a little history about it. We were having a hard time getting... I went to the public access channel to get the prophetic word played on TV there. And they said, well, do you have a branch of the House of Yahweh in Laredo? And I thought, well, we have a gathering of people, but we don't really have anything on paper saying that we have a branch of the House of Yahweh in Laredo. So I called Abilene, of course. I don't do anything on my own, and none of us should. If you're guided by Yahweh, you'll see the blessings that come later. Sometimes you don't see them right away, but you will see them if you're patient. Now, if you'll notice, it's called the business, the incorporated business, the House of Yahweh Laredo Branch. Okay? And it shows that the T&P Lane address is where the main headquarters is, Taylor County, and that it shows Israel B. Hawkins as the president of the House of Yahweh in, or the overseer of the House of Yahweh in Abilene, Texas, on T&P Lane. Now, I want to show you something really interesting about when this was filed. Notice that date, April 29th. April 29th. You've heard a lot about that, right? April 29th, 2008. Now, I remember that day because I called Pastor and I said, hey, when April 29th, 2014 comes around, could you make sure that, you know, you put something on April 20th? No, I didn't. You'd have to be the biggest con game ever. I am an ex-con, not a neocon. Okay, so, but now notice it was filed and recorded on that date. Now notice this. The notary that signed that. Her commission expires on 6/13. Now, what would be the odds of that? You know, how many proofs do we need, you know, to prove? Yahweh proves it over and over to us. Now, that was for the establishment of the Laredo branch of the House of Yahweh. Remember that it says that he will branch out from his place and he will build the House of Yahweh. Well, how is he building the House of Yahweh? Through teaching. He's teaching the people. There's been so many people through this great work here that have been taught this peaceful solution. And a great Kahan a few weeks ago talked about the dry bones. And Yahweh, can these bones live? Remember that? And that every time we speak to the people, we're breathing the breath of life into them. Even Judge Rosie said in her presentation, she goes, the peaceful solution has brought life to my courtroom. Those posters that they made, that was pure inspiration of Yahweh, her saying that. And if we, you know, we need to believe these things. Now, the other thing, I told you I filed two things in the court. Here's the other thing I filed. The only other thing I've ever filed with Peaceful Solution in the House of Yahweh. Y'all remember this. The van. I'll go ahead and show you a picture again of the peace mobile that's parked down there in the parking lot. Oh. I think I need a young priest assistant with me. They're really great at this. Okay, see that right there? The license, the back of the license with the 7613 and the AH3. And by the way, I think that AH3, remember when in Isaiah where Yahweh says, "Ah, sinful nation." Okay, AH, "Ah, sinful nation." In other words, pay attention. Listen to me. Behold. Behold. Not like, "Ah." No, "Ah, behold, sinful nation." Listen to me. "Ah," number three. The number three, behold, three, because it's complete. Three is a number of completion. Remember that. These things aren't put there for no reason. And by the way, that I figured out the "Ah, three" from Pastor, his writings in the last newsletter, because I remember I was sitting there thinking, what does that AH mean? I said, you know, the only place I've ever gotten any inspiration is from the writings of Israel Hawkins. So I opened up the latest newsletter, and about the third or fourth verse was that, "Ah, sinful nation." And it was right there. I'm like, thank you, Yahweh. Thank you, Israel Hawkins, for your great inspiration. Okay, so the Laredo branch, 419. By the way, about that 19 also, one of the young priestesses last week was talking about the 2013 gold, right? And on the deal it says, it's not on this one, but on February 3rd, but remember it was at sundown, which was February 4th. So 2/4/13, right, is 19. And then it was taken at 6:49 p.m. 6 and 4 and 9 is what? Okay, I'm getting some. Let's try it again. 19. Yes, 19. How could he coincide? And then they showed all those other things they really did their homework on those dates, and they were all adding up to that same number. It's just amazing. Okay, so the peaceful solution, and it was the judgments of Yahweh. You know, we're being judged based on the decisions that we make, whether they line up with those things that are written. Remember, we're being judged according to what's written in the books. Now, 7613. Let's talk about that for a minute, because here it is this was in, I don't know if it shows Webb County, but yeah, it shows Laredo, Texas, where I got the deal title. I need to show you the definition of 7613 again. Here it is. 7613 is from word number 5375. And let's go to 5375 and see what it says. 5375, if you all recall, was the word NASA. Okay? The word NASA. Now, what would be the odds of that? And we heard all the definitions of that word 7613 about lifting up. You know, when they send up the space shuttle or their rockets, they always say, "Houston, we have liftoff." You notice that? Lifting up. The lifting up. "Houston, we have liftoff." And by the way, pretty soon now, it's not going to be, "Houston, we've got a problem." It's going to be, "Houston, we've got a solution." Right? There ain't going to be no problems that we can't fix. Okay, so NASA, you know, what would be the odds? And like one of the great speakers said before me, NASA is the one, like you just saw the hand of Yahweh, the H-O-Y. Not the H-O-G, you know, the H-O-Y. The hand of Yahweh that NASA took. And when he said it was discovered in 1982, right? Let me show you something with that picture. There's 1982 written right on it. I'm going to flash this for you. Let me see. Get my hand out. See that 1982? 1982. I mean, so clear. 1982. Isn't that amazing? That is just so amazing. There's going to be more brought on this in just a few minutes. Okay, so Don't want to get off track now. The branch. Isaiah. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 4. Isaiah chapter 4. Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 2. I got to get these things in here. On page 532. It says, "In that day will the branch of Yahweh be beautiful, brought to promotion or prominence, and glorious, promoted to honor, promoted, lifted up, exalted. And the fruit of the earth," remember what the great deacon was talking about, the grapes. "The fruit of the earth," you know, the people. It's not talking about grapes on a tree, okay? "The fruit of the earth will be excellent and comely for those who are escaped to Israel." Those who are escaped to Israel. Now, don't think for one moment that you need to get on a jet plane and fly over to the Middle East, where there's about to be a big nuclear war, and think that you're going to escape to Israel. No, you have already escaped to Israel. You are with Israel Hawkins right here. Turn over. Let's continue to read there. It says, "And it will come to pass that he who is left in Zion," remember what Zion means? Those who keep the 613 laws. "And he who remains in Jerusalem," here, where the city with the priest who teaches peace. Remember the meanings of these words. Don't ever forget them. "Will be called holy. Everyone who is written among the living here in the house of Yahweh with the priest who teaches peace, Israel Abel Hawkins, will be called holy. When Yahweh has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the blood from the midst of Jerusalem by the spirit of judgment," by the spirit of judgment, the peaceful solution are the judgments of Yahweh. This is how the filth is being purged, along with the physical cleansing. Remember, as another apostle said, "Cleanse yourself of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit." That's 1 Corinthians 7:1, I believe. Now it says, I read verse 4? Yes. Yes, okay. So, "And with the spirit of burning," the spirit of burning, okay? Now, go over to 2 Kefa chapter 1. Keep the cleansing in mind that the great Kohan Kenanya talked about and the others spoke about. Keep those things in mind. The cleansing. 1 Kefa. And escaped to Israel. Escape to Israel. 2 Kefa 1, verse 4. I found on page 961. It says, "Through which exceedingly great and precious promises have been given to us by him, in order that through these you may be partakers of that holy way of life." Okay, remember, everyone that's left here is going to be called holy. But notice, "and escape the corruption in the world, which is through lust." It's the lust of uncleanness. It's lust. It's worldly lust that's causing us to become unclean. Not just physically. Remember, this is a mental thing. Satan is attacking us mentally too. The mind and the body work together. Look at 2 Kefa. Just go over to a couple pages. 2 Kefa 2:18. Where it reads, "For when they speak great swelling words of worthlessness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through wantonness, licentiousness, the ones who have barely escaped." We have barely escaped. We barely escaped these things to Israel. "From those who live in error," those outside that live in error, "while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For by whom anyone is overcome, to him he is enslaved." Now look at verse 20. This is the judgment of those that leave here, who barely escaped to Israel, barely escaped the pollutions of the world. Look at this. "Now if after they have escaped to Israel, the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of Yahweh that pastor has taught us day and day and day and day and night, over and over, week after week, look what's going to occur. "And the Savior, Yahshua Messiah, they are again entangled in them and overcome by them. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Look at Ephesians 5:26. What is Pastor washing us with? What is he washing us with? Ephesians 5:26, pound on page 919. There's 19 again, so you'll be able to remember this. 5:26, in order that he may sanctify them, cleansing them with the law, as with water, in order that the glorious called out ones stand by his side, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, but that they would be holy and without blemish. Now, the scoffer will look at that and say, well, that's talking about Yahshua. That's talking about Yahshua. Yeah, but Yahshua is using who? Is Yahshua down here right now speaking to you physically? No, he's got Israel Hawkins. Okay, and he's cleansing us through that branch. He's working with that branch side by side. Okay, now it says, look over also one other scripture here, the Psalm 119. Psalm 119, there's that 19 again. I didn't plan it that way, but maybe this will help us remember. Psalm 119 and verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? How can a young man or woman in the house of Yahweh cleanse their way? By taking heed according to the law. Remember, we are being cleansed by Yahshua Messiah, and he's cleansing us through his co-worker, our great teacher, the great Kohan Israel Abel Hawkins, the chosen branch of Yahweh. They're working side by side doing this work. It's been a great pleasure talking to the called out ones in the house of Yahweh. And remember, we don't have much time. I was going to sing to you about that branch. He will branch out from his place. But you know, my singing is not all that great. But hopefully that'll help you remember. Yahweh bless your understanding, and at this time, if you please stand, it's my great privilege and opportunity to present to you the great Kohan Ilya Hyler Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. A lot of valuable information coming forth from the last 3 weeks from Yahweh's house, Yahweh's administration, the men and the women alike. It's a great way to see Yahweh's administration and how this future kingdom, this government, will be ruled. The administration that will govern and bring peace to this earth, that will help us to be what Yahweh has always desired for us to be. Turn over, if you would, real quickly to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. We want to take everything that we've seen here today and keep remembering why we are here today. What was Yahweh's desire? This is something that Yahweh has had a desire. He has been working toward for thousands of years. Thousands and thousands of years he has desired these things. That nebula that they refer to as the hand of God, that we call the hand of Yahweh, that was hundreds of thousands of years in the making. So Yahweh didn't just sparingly, you know, just jump out and decide in a split second moment, because he was bored, had nothing to do. He was just watching candles burn, so he decided to jump out and do this. This is a very thought out plan. And look at Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5. It says, now therefore, if you will truly obey my voice. Now once again, I know you've been asked this many times today. Who is the voice of Yahweh in these last days? Israel Hawkins. If you will obey my spokesperson, if you will obey my voice by keeping my covenant, my agreement that I've made with you, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. All of these things belong to Yahweh. And Yahweh says, if you'll listen to my spokesperson and you'll keep the agreement that he's making with you with my authority, then you will be a special treasure to me. In verse 6 it says, and you shall be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the laws that you shall speak to the children of Israel, telling the children of Israel to do these things. Now, with that in mind, once again, also turn over to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, remembering that we're supposed to become this kingdom of priests, not just us, but all of those who have lived before us, all of those who died through the persecution, that stood strong, that gave their very lives to write these books for us, that we would be able to accomplish our jobs in these last days and push forth this grace work, that not just a man alone being born at the ends of the earth, but a work being born at the ends of the earth that was spoken of thousands of years in advance that these things would take place. In Isaiah 55, look at verse 5. It says, "Behold, you will call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you will run to you because of Yahweh your Father, the Holy One of Israel, for He has glorified you." For He has glorified you. Now, who is the one that will seek this glorification for Yahweh in these last days? Israel Hawkins. Keep in mind Isaiah 49:3. Write that down in your notes. It says, "For he said to me, 'You are my servant, O Israel, through whom I will be glorified.'" Through whom I will be glorified. Keep in mind, Yahweh said that He would not give His glory to another. Yahweh didn't say that I will not give my glory. He said I would not give it to another. No one other than whom He has chosen to give it to. The only one in these last days, the only spokesperson, the only human being on the face of this earth that can offer salvation, that can offer true peace, that can cleanse us with the law as with water, is Yahweh's spokesperson. That voice of Yahweh that has been sent in these last days. Look over, since you're at Isaiah 55, look over to 53 verse 1 very quickly. And it says, "Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of Yahweh revealed?" Now we know that the arm of Yahweh is the strength of Yahweh, and this is a prophecy of Yahshua Messiah. But in these last days, there's no secret that Yahshua is working hand in hand with the overseer of the house of Yahweh, the high priest, working with our pastor in accomplishing these things and getting all of these things done. Now, we have a spokesperson, we have the voice of Yahweh, and we have it before us. Now, we have something that we have to do. We as a people, we as a group of people, we've been called to this work in these last days. Now the ball is in our court, so to speak. The obligations lie on us. There's been an agreement that has been made upon baptism. We vowed that we would keep that agreement. We vowed that we would do these things. We vowed that we would not turn to sin or return to sin. Look over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 is found on page 904. Found on page 904. So 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. It says, "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says Yahweh." Remember, separate, sanctified means to be separate, to be separate. "Do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says Yahweh Almighty." And remember, Romans chapter 8 says that, you know, the heavens actually, they're earning this expectation for the revealing of the sons and daughters of Yahweh, for these saints. And look at 7 verse 1. It says, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit." Yes, let us take all negative character. Let us remove all things that cause us to not be like Yahweh. Whether it be accusations against someone. In the house of Yahweh, if you see someone stumble, if you see someone fall, if you see something that just didn't look right, that's not something you should run and spread to everyone. You should go into secret and pray. Go to the priest, let them know that you've seen something, but pray for that person. Don't go around slandering the person. Pray for them. Now, all of these things are for the perfecting of the holiness in the reverence of Yahweh, that we may learn to reverence Yahweh. And remember, each and every person in this sanctuary belongs to Yahweh as a seed of the seventh Malach. We are a possession. We are a property. When you deal with someone else, you're dealing with someone else's property. And we all belong to that one voice, that spokesperson. We are a seed. And of course, we should treat each other as we would treat or speak to that voice of Yahweh with all respect, showing all regard and looking at someone with all dignity. and value. That is the most important thing that we have to keep in these last days, is the value. And of course, like the respect unit of the Peaceful Solution teaches, that self-respect, respect starts with ourself. We have to see value in ourself first, and then we can learn to value others. We can learn to respect others. Turn over to Revelations 18:4, since it goes right along with this. Revelations 18:4. Speaking of coming out from amongst them, touch not the unclean thing. Do not return to sin. Push forth in overcoming. And of course, Revelations 18:4, it says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, so that you do not partake in her sins, and that you do not receive of her plagues." Remember, we have to come away from this negative character, because bad company corrupts righteous character. You may go out and think, it won't harm me, it can't touch me, I know the truth. Many people have claimed that and have failed in these last days. You cannot go out and wallow in the mire and not become filthy. You cannot go out and partake of sin and not suffer the consequences. Yahweh did not say, do not eat swine's flesh, because he thought you could eat it and live. He knew you would die, or we would die. We cannot partake of negative character. That's something we have to continue to alleviate that from ourselves. Cleansing ourselves with the law as with water, as the great Khan Benjamin said. Keeping that in mind, once again, turn over to Daniel. Daniel 12:10. And you may be thinking, what in the earth does any of this have to do with the moon? You know, but bear with me very quickly. Daniel 12:10. Now, many people, of course, do not believe this report. They will not believe what Yahweh has brought forth. And it's not just today. Pastor has been sounding the shofar. He's been blowing the trumpet for many, many years. And many people have come and many people have turned. Many people have challenged this work, and many people have fallen short, because this work will stand. Yahweh told Pastor to fear no one. That was a promise he made to him in Isaiah. Isaiah spoke those things, to fear no one, to do this job, and it would build this place of protection. And in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 10, to those who believe, it says, many will be purified and made white and tried, tested. Yes, there will be tests. There will be great tests, mental affliction, as Daniel said. Satan would mentally attack the saints in these last days and would literally try to break them down. It is a challenge. It is a challenge to be in Yahweh's house. It's not impossible to be in Yahweh's house. It's not impossible to stay in Yahweh's house. But it is a challenge, and it's something that Yahweh sees need for us to go through. He's not doing it to torture us. He's doing it to, once again, prove us. He's brought us out this day to prove, to test and see whom we would serve. Now, but the wicked, well, they will do wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but the wise will understand. Now, it's not a surprise when the wicked will seek to challenge Yahweh's house, when the wicked will seek to falsely accuse Yahweh's anointed witness, when they will say many, many things. They actually fulfill prophecy in doing so. Isaiah said that Israel would be given to reproach. It didn't say they will brag about you. It said they would come against you. They would speak against you. For my name's sake, they will do these things. And that's exactly what we've seen in these last days. Turn over quickly to Psalms. Psalms 51. And I promise you we're going to get to the moon. Not really, but we're going to stay here, but we're going to get to the moon. Psalms 51. King David was a man that wanted to be like Yahweh. He sought after Yahweh's own heart. In verse 51 it says, "Have mercy upon us, O Yahweh, according to your love kindness, according to the abundance of your compassion. Blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity and cleanse us from our sin. For we acknowledge our transgressions, and our sins is always before us. Against you, you only, have we sinned and have committed the evil in your eyes, to the intent that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, we were born in iniquity, and in sin our mothers conceived us. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts, you will make us to know wisdom. Yes, that is a promise. Yahweh will cause us to know wisdom. Now, that's something, yes, we were all born into sin. Pastor has said not one person is born without some sort of disease, STD, in these last days. But that doesn't mean we can go around and blame our parents for everything we do. It's just like going around saying, you caused me to become angry. No, we're perfectly capable of being complete fools on ourselves. We don't need help. That's something that we're perfectly capable of doing. But keep in mind this cleansing. Yahweh wants us to cleanse. And on 12:19, it was 17, 18, and 19, the face was seen on the moon. You could see the face very clearly on the moon. Now remember, there are many prophecies that speak of the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. But keep in mind, when the sun is darkened, the moon can't give its light because the moon gets its light from the sun. It's a reflection. The moon doesn't generate its own light. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 24. Isaiah chapter 24. And look at verse 23. Isaiah 24 and verse 23. Now it says, the moon will be confounded and the sun ashamed when Yahweh of hosts will reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancient gloriously. That makes complete sense, right? Clear as mud. Yes. The word moon is number 3842, and it comes from word 3835 in the Strong's Concordance. And it means to become white. To become white. In the Hebrew Aramaic Chaldee lexicon, it means to cleanse oneself. In the Benjamin Davis lexicon, it means able. Able. The word confound in Benjamin Davis means to search out. The word sun in the Hebrew Aramaic Chaldee lexicon, it means justice of Yahweh. Justice of Yahweh. Now keep in mind, because a lot of people, they take that word justice and they use it in the wrong context. You hear many people say, I'm going to court today and I hope justice is served. And really, they just hope someone goes to jail they don't like. That's not necessarily justice. The word justice, as defined by the Merriam-Webster's dictionary, means the maintenance or administration of what is just. The adjustment of conflicting claims are the assignment of merit, the assignment of merited rewards or punishment. In other words, like Revelations 22:12 says, every man will be judged according to his works, and you will receive your just reward or the consequences of your actions. That is the justice of Yahweh. Yahweh has said he will do these things, and he will allow these things to take place. He allows us to choose. Yahweh is killing no one. Yahweh allows us to choose. The word mount, also from Benjamin Davis, means through. Through. The word Zion, also from Benjamin Davis, means a priest who teaches peace. Deeds of, or instructs in peace. Instructs in peace. The word before means to declare. Show. Tell. Publish, announce his ancients. Announce his ancients. So putting all of these things together, when we read Isaiah 24:23, it actually says, then those who cleanse themselves at Abel will be salt, and those who receive Yahweh's justice will be ashamed. Those who are judged unworthy will be ashamed. They'll see what they've done. When Yahweh of hosts will gloriously reign through those who think to learn his glorious laws through the priest who teaches peace. And that priest was the one that was shown on the face of the moon. That is the priest who teaches peace. Now, there's much more that I know people have to bring concerning the moon and the face that was on the moon. But keep in mind that we have to cleanse ourselves in these last days. Part of our job is preparing ourselves for judgment. Not preparing ourselves because we're scared we're going to die, but preparing ourselves because we believe that this is the truth. We believe that this will put an end to all death and destruction. We truly want to see a better life for mankind, for everyone. Moving on to the hand of God, the hand of Yahweh is going to be called from this point on. Once again, if you notice, there was many things showed to this, and a lot of it in great detail. And I don't know how well it shows up on the projection screens out there. I know some of them are kind of faint. Please don't hesitate to come and see us after services if you want to see these things and you didn't see them. During services, don't hesitate to come. But if you look at this, now this upper part is a separate cloud. It's known as RCW89. Now this cloud right here, which we're going to call the hand of Yahweh, the technical term for that one was 1509-58. 1509-58. Now looking at this cloud, I don't even know if we even need to show it. Can anyone see the 613 right here? 613. You see 613. We actually put some red in it, but it shows up so well. We'll get to that in a minute. There we go. Right there, 613. Now I'll take it back over. You see where it's at. I'm about as unorganized as you can be. No, I got it. 613. Can everyone see that? 613. Now, that's extremely clear, and that's, you can go off the internet and grab that picture. That's where I got this one. It's just pulled straight off the internet. 613. Now, moving along, I know the great deacon showed many other things that are in this. 1982. Did you bring about 1982? You said, okay, great. He brought 1982. That's very important, by the way, 1982. Now, in this picture right here, I know it's very hazy, but there's a picture of a man with a black tie wearing a suit. And you can see him very clearly. Right here is a tie. The head, where it's extremely bright, would be the top of his head. You can see his face. When you see his face, it's none other than Yisrael Hawkins. And I know that picture's kind of hazy, but please come see us. You can almost see the glasses right there, the beard and mustache. Come see us afterwards. We'll be more than glad to show it to you. Go online. For all of those that are out there in the world, go online, type in Hand of God Nebula, and you can see it clearly. And then, of course, to the other side, we also have 613 that shows up. 613 that shows up on that side. We've already looked at the one, of course, on this side, 613, which is extremely clear. It's almost as clear as the Horsehead Nebula that has been shown before. So 613 there. Now, keep in mind, this cloud, once again, referred to as RCW89. That's the red part on top. And then 1509-58 is the term for the nebula itself, everything below that part. Now, 1982 was a very interesting time. If you remember the Deacon Stefania, he brought out that that was a time when the observatory, the Einstein Observatory, they first noticed this cloud. They first noticed that it existed. 1982. What was special about 1982? Well, a lot of us wasn't here. I know there's some that were here. 1982 was a very special time. If you remember in 1980, that was a time that the mobile sanctuary was dedicated by the two witnesses in December the 2nd of 1980. That was when the two witnesses dedicated the mobile sanctuary. And that's when Jacob traveled to Abilene to do it. And he actually spoke along with Pastor that day, and they dedicated it with many people, and some still here today. Actually still here serving Yahweh very diligently. Now, in 1982, there was a few events took place. The first feast was held in Abilene at the press room. It was Passover in 1982. That was the first feast. The foundation was poured the year before that. It came to a completion. I think they were still working on the press room even as they kept the first feast in 1982. But there was something very important that occurred in 1982 with the revealing of the two witnesses. It was March the 16th of 1982 when Pastor filed paperwork to change his name. To change his name to Yisrael Hawkins. And remember, the reason he changed his name was because he felt the name Buffalo Bill was a very ludicrous character. That's how it was described in the legal documents. And not knowing, of course, at the time that there was a meaning behind that name that Vernon had given him many years before that. But he changed his name to Yisrael Hawkins. Now, I want to read to you out of the book of the two witnesses. This is Pastor speaking. He said, "Before this time, I was not aware of the prophecy in Isaiah 44:5, which refers to the calling and surnaming of Yahweh's two witnesses, which referred to me and my brother. But it was only 2 weeks later, just before Passover 1982, that Yahweh revealed this prophecy of his two witnesses to me. It was only at this time that I recognized that my brother had fulfilled the circumstances of his name being called Yaakov in the year of 1969, and that I had fulfilled the legal surnaming of myself in 1982, fulfilling these prophecies to the minute in detail." So filling these prophecies to the minute in detail. It was at that point, 1982, when Yahweh opened the mind of his two witnesses, and they actually realized that they were two. They knew they were special. They knew they would do a work together, and they did do a work together. But it was very special that he would realize at that time that they were the two witnesses. Now, they were doing this work completely. Remember, they did this work together the whole time. Jacob being in Israel, Pastor being in America, Jacob coming back January of 1975 and meeting at the homestead. And that's where they actually, you know, he came straight to the homestead at that time when he came back from Israel. Now, many people have said, and they wanted to say, that Yaakov and Pastor did not work together. There was bitterness between them. There was hatred. And I know people still publish that information today. But it's people who were not there, people who were not part of this, and people who are wanting to downgrade or make Yaakov or Yisrael, the two witnesses, look as though there's something as they're not. But in 1990... In 1990, there was a legal agreement that took place. There was an assembly that had sued the House of Yahweh for the name House of Yahweh. And it was an assembly that did so. And I knew very well of the other side of it because I met the man. I came out of the Assembly of Yahweh years ago. I knew about that. And I seen it from the other end. Didn't know about the detail of it, but I knew about it from that part. But at that time, Pastor and Yaakov came together in 1990, and they actually signed. Now, keep in mind, a lot of people want to say these things are coincidence, that Yaakov changed his name, Yaakov did this, Yaakov did that. But when they signed these legal agreements, and you can get copies of them, the House of Yahweh has published them for years, so you can actually see them. You don't have to go hunting for them. They're readily available. Yaakov, when he signed this legal agreement, he stated that I, Jacob Hawkins, also known as Yaakov Hawkins, authorize and license and have heretofore verbally authorized and licensed Yisrael Hawkins to use the name House of Yahweh in any religious work, organization, etc. Now, it goes on into the trademark, but it's showing that he named himself, his name was Jacob Hawkins, and then he called himself Yaakov. Now, when it came to Pastor, in this legal agreement, it says that I, Yisrael Hawkins, authorize and license and have heretofore verbally authorized and licensed Jacob Hawkins, also known as Yaakov Hawkins, to use the name. Now, you don't see Buffalo Bill Hawkins there because he had already surnamed himself. He had already took on this name. Yahweh had already named him. Yahweh had already given him this name. Now, why is that important? Well, the two witnesses worked together and they worked establishing Yahweh's great house. Now, it's kind of humorous to see some of the things that you read out there, and hopefully you don't waste your time with them. I know sometimes your emails can fill up full of them, but it's not important. Those things are not important. They're fulfilling prophecy. And you know what you should do? Pray for people. Pray that Yahweh would help them. Pray that Yahweh would return them. Yahweh said that he would not, one would perish. And in the house of Yahweh, there's no one here seeking for anyone to perish. We're willing to lay down our lives for everyone that's willing to serve at the feet of Yahweh's anointed witness. Praise Yahweh. Now, if you remember, the house of Yahweh was established in 1983. The house of Yahweh was established February the 4th of 1983. Now, if you remember the cloud that came up with the word gold, it was after sunset, that was on February the 4th of 1983. One of the things that were very interesting, I heard last week when one of the young ladies were speaking, she used the word 748. That was the time. 748 was the time the picture was taking of the face on the moon. And the word 748 in the Greek meant high or priestly or high priest. And that word comes from 2413. 2413. And that's when the cloud was seen that said gold above the sanctuary. And that means holy or sacred. That was also the 30th anniversary of the house of Yahweh being established at that time. And if you remember, it also tied into a sermon that was given from Isaiah chapter 48, showing how Yahshua and Pastor would complete this work together in these last days. They would minister together, completing this work, working hand in hand. And that was referred to as the pleasure of Yahweh. Well, in this cloud, and keep in mind, just in case, I was asked this question the other day, and everyone should be able to answer this question. Many people say the house of Yahweh was established as a church. The house of Yahweh, they filed documentation to be established in a Babylonian land. If you remember when King Saul went before Agrippa, and King Agrippa, you know, Festus and Agrippa, Saul just merely pled his case. And King Agrippa said, "You almost convinced me to become a Christian." Saul never said he was a Christian, and he moved right along. Why argue about it? He moved right along. The house of Yahweh merely fulfilled prophecy, being recognized for a religious organization in these last days. Now, getting into the hand of Yahweh, the nebula. Once again, that was actually, the pictures just came up last week. And the numbers themselves to the nebula mean something very interesting. Once again, they were 1509-58, and you had RCW-89. That was the red cloud above. Now, using the Hebrew dictionary, the Strong's Expanded Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible, and a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon of the Old Testament by Julius I, page 18 and page 1287 show many things. It explains and opens great detail to Jeremiah 22, verses 27, and Zechariah 5, 10, and 11. Now, letting these scriptures do the interpreting of these things, let's take a look at the letters. And I tell you, as to the young men and young women, you come to class, you see your teachers, value them. You see many priests my age and some younger than me. We value the priests that are older than us. They taught us. You can only be your best if you sit at the feet of your teachers who sit at the feet of their teacher. Always keep that in mind. The number 59 comes, word 58 comes from the word number 59. And of course, this word, number 59, in the Hebrew dictionary, the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible, which shows this is the Hebrew name Abel. The Hebrew name Abel. The number 89 is listed. And it is number 89 in the Hebrew dictionary, the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible, which is the Hebrew word aga. Now, Strong gives no definition for this word, but the same Hebrew word is listed on page 18 of the Hebrew Chaldee lexicon of the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means to flee, to flee. The letters RCW are English derivatives of the Hebrew letters resh, Ket and Wa. According to the Hebrew Tongue Restored by Fabre D. Olivet, the first part, page 70, the English letters RCW, when traced to their Hebrew origins, actually form a Hebrew word, which is pronounced Reku. The word is listed on page 1286 and 1287 of the Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon, by Julius I, which shows this word is a root form of the Hebrew word ruach, which means the word of Yahweh, the word of Yahweh. The number 1509 is listed as word, once again, number 1509 in the Hebrew dictionary, the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible, and that is the word gazara, gazara, a word that means a desert not inhabited, a desert not inhabited. Now, what these words and numbers on this nebula are saying. Now, this is the words and numbers on the nebula itself. Keep in mind, that's where these are coming from. When these are put together with their original Hebrew origins, they mean They will flee with the word of Yahweh to Abel in a desert land yet to be inhabited. That was 1982. Now, letting the word of Yahweh interpret itself, as Isaiah 28, verses 10 to 13 say to, these two scriptures are involved with this nebula, are Zechariah, the two scriptures involved with the nebula are Zechariah 5, 10 and 11, which say, verse 10 says, then I said to the Malach, who was speaking with me, where are they going with the ephah? And he said to me, to build the house of Yahweh according to the standard of perfection sent by Yahweh's laws at Abel in a Babylonian land which does not yet exist. And it will be established at that time as the established place, the habitation of Yahweh, the house of Yahweh. Now keep in mind, when this cloud was created, there was no house of Yahweh. It's supposedly it's millions of years old. Pastor said the earth is 21,000 years old. And I know he said he's going to explain that, and I'm still on the edge of my seat waiting to hear it. And I know he knows. He knows. There's no doubt in my mind he knows. But remember, these things were spoken as though they were already done. And the house of Yahweh was established in these last days. And remember, Jeremiah 22 and verse 27. And it says, and to the land to which they desire to return, they will never return. And so what was written on this nebula actually tells us that in Jeremiah 22:27, that they will flee with the word of Yahweh to Abel in a desert land yet to be inhabited and never to return. They will flee to Yahweh's great house, here where Yahweh's spokesman sits. The voice of Yahweh actually sits. So I hope everyone, I know it's been a very long time, I hope everyone can rejoice in seeing these things are glorification from Yahweh about his witness. And remember, please remember, Pastor has brought many times, the priest have brought many times, when you see the face of Yisrael Hawkins, you see each and every person in Yahweh's house. And we can't say that enough, each and every person in Yahweh's house. When you look, when you walk, when you talk, when you work, everything you do, keep in mind, it's very easy to disrespect someone. It's very easy to tear someone down. It's very easy to make someone feel as though they're not worth anything. But then how would you feel yourself if someone did you that way? We never want to be guilty of running someone out of his great house. We should build up Yahweh's great house. 2 billion are coming. Everyone here is needed to teach. At this time, thank you very much. We'd like to turn it over to the great Kahan for closing prayer.